This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Pacific Daylight Time will be...
It's 5 o'clock.
5 o'clock.
One step closer to my own personal hell.
This is Primetime on Sports Radio 1080 The Fan.
We expect the best. We're not afraid to break someone. Do you hear me?
Primetime is your source for the best in local, regional, and national sports.
Go ahead and clap. Mediocrity deserves applause.
Isaac Rod.
I'm miserable. I had to get up at 10 o'clock this morning.
Jason Sakanet.
I'm a dude playing a dude disguised as another dude.
Primetime on 1080 The Fan.
All right. Welcome back. Hope you're having a nice little Tuesday. It's your sports bros, Rob and Sook. I'm Rob.
Side
Big Sook's right over there.
Right here.
Look at him.
Wow, bottle of blood.
Ryan Buckley is here.
I ripped his ass, quite frankly.
Been aggressive.
Whoa.
And it makes me sad.
Coming up tonight in the club, I have the latest on our asteroid that is going to kill us.
What, 3% chance now, right?
Well, it was last time we talked. I have the latest, though.
Oh, boy.
Exclusively
three,
here.
3.5.
It was 3.1. I think it got to 3.1.
It's your ass,
I think
Mr.
that's the
Price,
last time
man.
We talked about it was 3.1.
Mm. Well, oh, no.
If you're wondering what it is now, you're going to find out.
Yeah.
We have yet another near runway collision we need to discuss.
Dude, this video is... terrifying. I have hot bear news. Two pieces.
Two pieces of hot bear news.
Two pieces of hot bear news.
And we're going to learn about Soon Bang.
Come again?
Her name is Soon Bang.
Is this like put a sheet on it? We're not certain how this is being pronounced.
Put a sheet on it.
No, it's Soon Bang. And it's Soon Bang for a reason.
All right. Suddenly a lot to get to. I don't even know if we'll get to my hot bear news. Sounds like we're loaded in the club.
I'm going to jot down hot bear news here just so I can remember. Huh?
Well, you know, bear news comes to it comes in bunches. And these are two good pieces of bear news.
This hour, we have a good old-fashioned train heist I'd like to talk about with you guys.
Ooh.
But
isn't everyone intrigued by a good train heist?
Yeah.
Did you see what? Do you know what I'm talking about?
No,
I don't
see
either.
What they have
with the 310 to Yuma. What are we? What there's like?
Well, I think it was in Arizona.
This is what
maybe it was the 310 to Yuma.
It might have been the 310 to Yuma.
How about that?
Do you know what was on the 310 to Yuma? I'm going to tell you.
I don't.
Hour.
But given the choice of all the things that I could rob, you know, like in a fantasy camp sort of rob thing, wouldn't the train heist be number one?
I think the train heist would be very interesting for a lot of reasons.
Yeah.
Which we can get into.
Yeah. It seems like it's like robbing a bank, but it's mobile. It's a little more fun.
And I feel like you got a better chance of getting away with it.
It's also cool because it's kind of timeless. It used to be the thing to do, but like you can still rob a train.
Yeah. Plus everyone's going to be like, are you seriously robbing this train right now? And you're like, damn right I am. That's how I do it.
Don't you think it would be kind of fun to not really know what's on the train?
Yeah.
And just extract it and then...
Yeah.
Oh my God, look at this.
Yeah, like a potpourri, like a mystery grab bag sort
of thing. It's gold.
Do they? I don't think they ship gold via train.
No, it's probably like... 20 billion doilies or something.
Exactly. It's probably something lame, but you know.
Then you go to old folks' homes and sell doilies. That's how it works.
Yeah. Make a lot of money in the doily game.
All right, it's time now for the Hot 5 at 5.
Oh!
Hot topics, hot opinions.
Oh, golly, I'm hot today.
And hot air. It's time for the Hot 5 at 5.
That's hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 on primetime with Isaac and Sue.
No, I mean it. That's very hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 with Isaac and Sue. Brought to you on The Fan by Victorico's Mexican Food. Discover Victorico's new savory menu items. Order in-store, online, or get it delivered straight to your door at victorico's.com. Number five.
Luka Doncic and the Lakers host Dallas tonight.
First time since the trade heard around the world.
The over-under on Luka revenge points, 32 and a half.
Yeah, by the way, you got to take the under on that one. But
also, that double-double number moved big time.
Did it?
Yeah. It's now heavy juice to the minus.
Yeah, because it was plus 110 on a Luka double-double. And
I saw minus 190.
Yeah, you got it. Oh, gosh, yeah, that's changed. A monster shift.
I got that original number from sportsbetting.ag. You know how they email us?
Yeah.
They had an email about that this morning.
Well, it didn't last very long.
It did not. Even if that was the number. Yeah. That's just the number they put out. Yeah. The point spread is 9. It will be on TNT at 7 o'clock. And, you know, I got to tell you, I don't watch a lot of NBA. Mm-hmm. I'm watching tonight.
Yeah.
I'm looking at that.
I caught part of the Minnesota-Oklahoma City game when I heard the comeback, and then I caught part of the Blazer game, snippets. But this is definitely one that I think will get a lot of eyeballs. When's the last time you watched start to finish a game?
1986.
It's been a bit. I catch pieces, but an entire thing? It's asking a lot of me.
The great Diana Taurasi is retiring after 20 seasons and 3 titles with the Phoenix Mercury of the WNBA.
And we tried to figure out if she's the greatest player of all time, and we settled because no one knew.
She is.
She's one of the greatest.
She is thought to be the greatest.
Well, Nike said in their statement, one of the greatest.
Well, look, we did there's a list on internet that has her the greatest, so I'm going with that.
Bold statement.
Sports talk radio
considering
guy.
You knew one other female basketball player.
She is 42. She's the all-time leading scorer in the league. And she also won 6 Olympic golds. I mean, nobody can even...
It's a lot of...
Didn't Olympic she also gold. Win all 4 years at UConn, too? Or maybe it was 3? I thought she won a bunch of titles with Ariema.
She's won at every level.
Yeah.
But she sucked in high school.
I think Breonna Stewart won 4 at UConn.
I'm just kidding. She was probably great in high school.
That would be my guess. Yes.
That's how you get to UConn.
I don't think UConn is taking a bunch of schlubs. Well, that's the way that works.
Notes from the Combine. Chiefs GM says he expects a fired up Travis Kelce to return next season.
Yeah, but then Andy Reid was like, I don't know, we'll see what happens. I don't think this is in the Chiefs' best interest to bring him back. I don't know why they think that bringing back an old and not necessarily an effective Travis Kelce at the number that he is making, I think it'd be better for Kansas City to move off of him. I think they should cut it.
He's 35. And he himself remains non-committal. He has not said what he's going to do. Bengals executive says they're preparing to make receiver Ja'Marr Chase the highest paid non-quarterback in the league.
Yeah, well, because those dumbasses didn't sign into an extension and he kept outplaying his money. Just like T. Higgins outplayed the tag. Yeah, they're trying to keep their players together. They've got 3 all-pro players they have to re-sign, but Cincinnati's just a mess. And if they do franchise tag T. Higgins again, it's just going to piss him off. Cincinnati is the best team that's the worst run.
Yeah, did you see that they were going to, when the news came they were going to tag Higgins, his mom hopped on Instagram and called them selfish bastards?
Yes.
The number one recruit in the class of 2026, 5-star offensive tackle Jackson Cantwell calls Dan Lanning his favorite coach. He cites his Missouri roots. This kid is from Nixa, Missouri.
That's why he's his favorite, is from Missouri?
Well, yeah. He's a Missouri kid, and of course, Lanning is from Missouri.
Just seems like a weird reason why he's your favorite coach.
So Nixa, Missouri is south of Springfield, north of Branson, if you care. His Missouri Tigers are one of the final 6, along with Ohio State, Michigan, and Miami. But it is thought to be that his top 2 are Oregon and Georgia.
Both with Dan Lanning connections. Time to break out the old pocketbook there. Start writing checks. And he's this coming class or what?
2026.
They're in the top two for a couple top guys. Chris Henry's kid, Chris Henry Jr., they're in top two for him with Ohio State and also the top quarterback, Jared Curtis.
Apparently USC, by the way, has gotten their head out of their ass and is back to recruiting again.
Yeah, they just flipped an Oregon quarterback.
Yeah.
Commanders give Pro Bowl defensive lineman Jonathan Allen permission to seek a trade. These sides are already discussing where to deal him. They want to do right by him. He has just 1 year left on his deal at $15 million. The Browns GM says he will not trade Myles Garrett despite the player's request to do so.
Let's see how this goes.
Elsewhere,
it's a good idea to get in a pissing match with your best player that doesn't want to be there.
Cleveland, they say they view Colorado's Travis Hunter as a receiver primarily. Although Titans coach Brian Callahan came out today and he said he thinks that Hunter can play both ways.
Yeah, and look, the both ways thing is a bit disingenuous. Look, he's going to be a starting corner in the league. And despite what anyone tells you, you can't play 130 snaps. And like, he's already been nicked up in college. You can't do this. So
you might have some gadget plays for him, maybe.
Someone will bring him in as a starting corner and then he'll play, I don't know, 15 to 20 snaps. As a receiver, he'll be the two or maybe the slot guy, play on obvious passing situations, third and long situations, but he is not going to be a full-time receiver in DB. And most people, overwhelming them have as being a corner. What I don't understand is this idea that because he played both, that he's this generational talent, and it's just not true. Now, granted, he's a very good corner, but if all he was a corner, you would not be drafting him number one. You don't draft a corner number one. And by the way, he doesn't project anywhere near Darrell Revis or
that kind of number one corner. No, he's generational versatility, but not
so
one spot.
I just think this is, and don't get me wrong, Travis Hunter is a very, very good player, but he is a borderline first round prospect as a receiver. And he's a very, very good corner, maybe the first or second corner off the board. But putting those two things together, this idea that he is like the best player in this draft, I do not understand the logic behind the Travis Hunter stuff.
We will get to more of that in the NFL Musings segment coming up. The Hot 5 of 5 is brought to you by Victor Rico's Mexican Food, now with 19 locations across Oregon and Washington, now in Lacamas Square in Vancouver. Find a location near you at victorricos.com. When you think of flavor, think of Victor Rico's. A good old-fashioned train heist. And what they got next on The Fan. Yeah, we've got a text on the Vancouver Fort text line from Rail Bro. He says, I work in an industry that ships things via rail. You'd be shocked at how much theft takes place on rail cars.
Huh.
People squeeze into the rail cars. They take whatever they can carry. Nearly impossible to track. And it's no big deal for us because we just make a claim against the train company to compensate us for our losses.
So basically what you're saying, Rail Bro, is go steal whatever you want from the rail cars.
Well, this story came to my attention because it ties into sports. Thieves have targeted freight trains running through the deserts of California and Arizona in a string of audacious heists, resulting in the theft of more than $2 million worth of new Nike sneakers, including many that haven't hit the retail market yet.
Yeah, I'm sure there's a ton of money into that. I mean, those Jordan brand sneakers and some of the one-off stuff, like limited edition, I'm sure that stuff goes for big cash.
Now, I don't know if it's, what is it, the 310 to Yuma?
310 to Yuma is like the famous, you know.
I don't know if it's that, but it was a remote section of Arizona where bandits made off with more than 1,900 pairs of unreleased Nikes.
Wow.
Worth more than $440,000.
Dude, that is, I'm just trying to think of how much, like, how do you steal that much?
Yeah, that's a good question. I don't know. Probably just have vans and trucks ready to load it, throw it all on there.
So while it's going, you're just like throwing it off of the thing, or is it when it stopped?
Good question. Don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
Don't know. I wish I knew.
Yeah. I mean, that is a lot of 19,000 pairs of sneakers. That's
highly coordinated.
That's a lot of sneakers. And I know they're not individual. I'm sure it's in big crates.
Big giant pallets of sneakers.
Yeah.
But they said that many of the shoes were Nigel Sylvester Air Jordan 4s.
Yeah, I think it's a skate bro. They're making a Jordan 4, but in a skate shoe.
They retail at $225 per pair. Yeah. They are not available to the public until March 14th.
Yeah, so that's a big deal. So just go find who's ever selling those now And you could probably show up at that guy's door. And there you go. Problem, or I guess case solved.
It was one of at least 10 heists targeting these trains in remote areas of the Mojave Desert. And while they are investigating, all but one resulted in the theft of Nike sneakers. Do you think they targeted that specifically?
Yeah, they targeted
that.
They knew what was on there.
So there's an inside mole telling them what the cargo is.
The Nike town here that shut down, one of the final straws was they were getting a big shipment in of Jordan 11s, which is like the most famous sneaker of all time. And someone was waiting for the truck to show up, and they stole all the pairs and threatened the employees. And I guess that was kind of one of the final straws where they decided to pull the store. And there's like, we're just not doing this anymore.
Yeah. Somebody else said, just takes one guy at the shipping yard to tip somebody off.
Yeah.
It's true.
Yeah. Go down to one of the longshoremen or whatever and
pay him a little money.
Yeah, pay him a little money and, you know, just kind of look the other way. You know, you go, hey, you're, you know, you need to go on, you know, break and give that dude a few shekels and voila, there you go. That was like the way the old mob used to do it, right? They used to just would steal that stuff and then sell it at a discount. And before anyone realized what had happened, it was gone.
Apparently, this says thieves typically scout merchandise on rail lines that parallel Interstate 40 by boarding slow-moving trains, such as when they're changing tracks and opening containers. Mm. So that's what they do. They just go in there and check out what's in there.
Yeah.
And if they want it, they toss it off of there.
Well, I'll be damned. Who knew that was a... Because I didn't have a full appreciation for the old train heist still.
And similar to our texter, they said that thieves are often tipped off to valuable shipments by associates working at warehouses or trucking companies.
Mm. Yeah. Well, I mean, it seems silly to think that has changed. It's just, everyone's tried to steal everything. It's just you modernize it a little bit. And I'm guessing that is probably a very easy way to get your hands on $2 million worth of merchandise.
Now, do you think it's a high number if I tell you that thefts from cargo trains cost our nation $100 million last year? That doesn't seem high.
That actually seems quite low.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So that freight, the six largest railroads.
Yeah.
You know, more than covered by insurance.
Sure.
I would imagine, yeah. You know.
But then the crappy part is we end up having to pay for all of that.
Well, sure.
Yeah, they jack up prices.
They sure as hell aren't.
Well, like I want to say like retail theft every year. Like, I mean, all those stores know, like they have like non-contact policies. Most stores don't even attempt to stop it. And then they just pass it's part of doing business. And that number is in the billions. I'll bet your retail theft in the U.S. is billions a year.
So what would you do with $2 million worth of Nikes?
Well, I mean,
what do you do with that?
I mean, I guarantee if you're stealing that, you know where to move it to. I'm sure you have people that buy that stuff in bulk. Maybe not every pair, but I'm sure you have people that buy hundreds of pairs at a time and then turn around and sell those.
Remember that kid that was stealing them?
Yeah, using his mom's contact. So he wasn't stealing them. He was just buying shoes that he had at Nike discounts and then really rare sneakers and then selling them at inflated prices. By the way, 2023 retailers, would you care to guess in theft?
US. 2023 U.S. retailers, yeah. Oh, dude, I mean, $4
billion. $112 billion.
Whoa.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Makes you wonder why you're paying for anything.
They said by the end of 2025, if current trends continue, losses are estimated in the $140 billion range. And this is, I mean, this goes back to why CVS stores are shutting down, Walgreens, Targets, Walmarts. I mean, Nike shut down. They're the main store here in Portland. I mean, we are Nike Town, and we shut down the Nike Town here. And a lot of places are just at the point now where they're like, we're not doing this anymore. It's not worth it. And now you go into some of these places, like if you go to Targets or like Walgreens, literally everything is behind glass. Like if you want anything, you have to go get an employee in order to, you know, to buy anything.
I can't blame them, but I told you the story. I went into a store downtown Portland not too long ago, mm-hmm. and they're in there, but it looks closed. But they're standing right by the door, and they have to unlock the door to let you in.
Yeah.
And then they're just all over you while you're in there.
Yep.
And I get it, but I also was so turned off. There's no way I was buying anything from them.
Well, I mean, we actually have to start punishing people. I mean, you see YouTube clips all the time where you get groups of people, there'll be like 15 of them. They run into a Nike store or, you know, whatever. And they literally just go through and they grab entire racks of merchandise and then run out the door. And they're like, oh, cool. We're taking everything. And you know, at some point that has to change. I mean, I know that you can say all you want about companies that make billions and all that. You can't have this trend.
There needs to be a societal consequence to do something like that.
There has to be. Yeah, someone's saying all Legos now behind the glass in Walmart and Target.
Which is ridiculous. It's a kid's toy.
It's a kid's toy.
Aren't again, Legos like really...
really expensive.
Depends on the sets. Like you can get really specific ones. I mean, we did a story in the news. I think it was from Springfield. Cops busted a Lego ring.
Big heist.
But it's all viewed as like victimless crimes because it's just soulless corporations and whatever. But again, it's all fun and games until all the stores that you want to shop at don't exist in your community anymore because they're all like, well, we're not doing this.
All right. Well, there's a bunch of Nikes out there.
Yeah.
I don't think that costs Nike anything. That's more between the carriers.
I don't know how all that goes, but it's not good. You know, and then
it's a lot of dough.
It is $2 million. That's,
I think a lot of people are sleeping on how much stuff still goes by rail in the U.S.
Yes.
I don't think, you know, we see these trains and we're like, ew, what's even on there?
No.
Dude.
Everything.
Stuff.
Yeah. Cool stuff.
Lots of
man.
It.
Well, I would say the vast majority because it's probably by far the most economical way. Otherwise, look at all the semis you're having to use to ship stuff around.
And we have the infrastructure,
yeah,
albeit falling apart. But
let's look, see, almost half, 49.5% of all goods are shipped by rail.
Self-driving semis are going to change the game, right?
We're still at half, huh?
Yeah, it's still going to be a very expensive way to do it because you look at what a train can do versus you're dealing with one 18-wheeler. There's only so much that can cost. I think by far the most cost-effective way to get anything anywhere is by rail.
NFL musings coming up next. Travis Hunter playing both ways. And was it Aaron Glenn's decision to punt on Aaron Rodgers? That's next. Here's Buck.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yeah.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right. Time to talk some NFL.
Being a man of increase?
A man of increase.
Free agent man of increase.
Yeah. Well, he's a good backup. I mean,
yeah.
Well, I mean, I guess.
It's a beautiful day.
Some talk that he may be winding down and maybe looking for an analyst role.
Oh, yeah. He'd be good at that.
Yeah.
Although.
I don't know if he'd be a good game analyst. He'd be a great studio dude, though, yeah. I think.
But you never know with these guys.
You never know.
I mean, I liked Robert Griffin III at first. Yeah. I was like, oh, he's pretty good.
Yeah.
And then 2 years later, he's out of the game.
There's just a belief that maybe when he's done, because I think he's 31, 32, and you kind of know what he is at this point. Certainly, he could still play if he wanted to, but there's some talk that he may be in a studio or a booth before too long.
Well, anyway, Travis Hunter, Heisman Trophy winner, Colorado. Mm. You were talking about him.
Yeah. I wanted
to read you what Brian Callahan said about him.
Yeah, because we now have two teams at the top of the draft saying they view him in two different ways.
Callahan said that he thinks Hunter would start at cornerback.
Mm-hmm.
It would be very, very difficult to be a full-time player on both sides of the ball. He says, this is the GM, sorry, the quote is, I think he could. You've seen it before. I'm looking for Callahan's quote. I had it here. Now it's gone. Bloop, 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 bloop. He said it's very realistic Hunter can play both ways in the NFL as he did in college.
See, and that's just not true.
So he'd start at corner and work in as a wide receiver.
Yeah, but, I mean, he played 100-plus snaps in college. You can't do that in the NFL. I mean, receivers and DBs break down all the time. And Travis Hunter was chipped up in college. So you're now going to take a guy and you're going to ask him to play 100 snaps a game over 17 weeks. It's not going to happen. So yes, the one that makes most sense is being a full-time DB and then again, playing 15 to 20 snaps on offense. But this notion that he is going to be some sort of two-way full-time player, it's not going to happen. This is not Shohei Ohtani. Okay, this is not where it's going to work. And by the way, he is not a very big guy at all. In fact, if you remember, was it 2 years ago when he got his kidney or his liver lacerated? Like, he is not a guy that has a great frame. And so why you're spending a top three pick on someone and then try to break that guy down in 3 or 4 years is just silly. So he can say that he wants to play both and he'll be a gadget player on one side of the ball, but he's just not. So this idea, too, that he's a generational player, I just don't get it because he's not a generational receiver and he's not a generational DB. He's unique in that we've never really seen someone play both ways like this. We've seen like the Charles Woodsons of the world that kind of do gadget stuff, but we've never seen someone. So from that aspect, he's truly unique, but he's not generational at either one of these things. So I don't get the generational label that we're putting on him in the NFL.
Like Troy Brown? Who was like, you remember the receiver who went and played some DB when they needed him to?
Yes.
And he was good.
So, but I mean, look, if you're taking Travis Hunter with the first or second or third pick, sure. If you think he is, as a corner, worth taking as the first, second, or third pick. But I think as a media in general, I think we have overhyped this because it is unique and it's different and we've never seen anything quite like it. But I just... He does not project out probably as a first round wide receiver, and he's not the best corner prospect we've seen. Like Champ Bailey coming out was like, oh my God, this is truly unique. I don't even think he projects when you look at most people like a Patrick Surtain, who is defensive player of the year. He projects out as a first, you know, a top 15 selection at corner.
Yeah.
So if he goes number one overall, I'm telling you, that will be one of the bigger reaches at number one I've seen.
Yeah, so most of the analysts saw, like you said, I mean, they all think he's a corner.
Yeah.
But it was interesting because the Browns came out and said that they view him primarily as a receiver.
Yes.
And the Browns picked number two. So perhaps they're doing some.
Yeah, it could be a smokescreen too. If someone wants to give you a bunch to move up, by all means, move up and take him, because he is not someone that if you pass on, you are going to be sitting there kicking yourself years from now. It's just, that's not the way corners work. And really, it's not the way receivers work. I mean, yeah, if you get a Jefferson or a Jamar Chase, and no offense to Travis Hunter, he is not one of those guys. He just isn't. He is not built like one. He doesn't move like one. And I don't think he's going to run at the combine, but he's not a 4.3 guy, and he's not a big physical guy. He's a long, smooth, flowing athlete, but he is not a physical freak, other than his stamina is incredible. But when he even did that in college, he actually got burned a lot as a DB, simply because I think of a fatigue factor, which again comes into play where you're not playing 100 plus snaps over 17 weeks in the NFL. I don't care who you are.
Yeah, they say he's going to work out as a DB.
Yeah.
Elsewhere, Aaron Glenn, the new coach of the Jets, said something interesting. You know, 2 weeks ago, the Jets basically announced that Aaron Rodgers would not be back.
Yeah.
But he's now saying it was his decision.
Yeah, it's very weird.
And I don't know that it was. Maybe he's trying to just fall on that sword. But, of course, some of the players were upset. Like, Quinnen Williams came out and posted a thumbs down emoji.
Yeah, and Aaron Glenn, I guess, said I had to go to talk to him and be like, hey, probably not what we're looking for right now out of you.
Yeah, so what Glenn said was, yes, I have talked to him. And listen, I understand the reaction to the players, but I'll say this. Every decision that me and general manager Darren Moogie make is to win and to win now. So I understand it. But again, this is not going to be the last decision I make that's going to upset some people, and that's okay.
Yeah.
But as men, we talk about it, we make sure we keep it in-house, and that's what we're going to continue to do. Do you think that Glenn got there and said, yeah, let's punt on this dude?
Wouldn't shock me one bit. In fact, I almost guarantee that that's what Aaron Glenn did. You know, I'm sure there was discussions around it, but when you're hiring a coach and Aaron Glenn is taking over, my guess is the first conversation they had was what, and by the way, this goes for Pete Carroll in Vegas, anyone, what are we doing at quarterback? And I can't imagine that Aaron Glenn, who wants to build long-term success there, wants to deal with Aaron Rodgers. And by the way, they're going to get rid of Devontae Adams. They're going to get rid of Lazard. Like, this is, we're not doing the Aaron Rodgers buddy-buddy system here. And so, yes.
I get that, but at the same time, a first-year head coach, particularly an African-American head coach, yeah, who those guys have been fired more often than white head coaches after the first year,
yeah,
you would think he would be like, well, I'd want
to
win.
I'm not certain that he believes Aaron Rodgers gives him the best chance to win. So,
well, relax. We'll see what they do.
We'll see what they do. But no, I think that he is being honest there when he came in and said, I'm not doing this. I think it was probably a condition on him taking the job, to be honest with you. I don't think you want to bring in that baggage. And by the way, keeping Aaron Rodgers around the last 2 years, it didn't do anything for the last coach, so, and I don't think it's going to do anything for Aaron
Glenn. It's a bit of a culture setter is kind of what I'm getting at, yes, the vibe I'm getting from him.
Yeah.
Because he's basically saying, because he said he was bristly about all the Aaron Rodgers questions, mm-hmm, from the very beginning. And he basically said, I don't want to disrespect, this is his quote. He said, I don't want to disrespect any of the players we have on our team, and it kind of pisses me off and some of the other players that's all we talk about.
Yes.
So he's saying, look, Aaron Rodgers may be good, may help me win, but I'm setting a culture here, yep, and we can't have that distraction. So,
and let's also remember, too, that early in the season, my God, the owner wanted him benched. And I know the owner is a pain in the ass, but, you know, and now you're going to go tell the owner, too, that, you know, you're having to deal with that. It's the last thing you want when you're trying to put your stamp on a team. Now, you do have to go out and find a quarterback, and I don't know what the Jets are going to do. I mean, there's like six teams right now that have to figure out the quarterback position, and the Jets are right there near the top.
Is Zach Wilson available?
That's quite well. You could bring back Sam Darnold.
No, seriously, where's Zach Wilson?
He was in Denver.
Oh, that's right.
I don't know if he's still in Denver. I don't know where his contract is, but yes, he was in Denver, and I believe he still is.
Coming up next, what if Wemby's condition is serious? Next on The Fan. Okay. Hi. Hello. I was reading a story about Victor Wembanyama. You know, blood clots are no joke.
No, it can kill you.
I think that's what got our dear friend Jerome Kersey.
Yeah, he had surgery, I think, on like his knee and then thought everything was okay. A blood clot formed, broke loose, and that's the end of it.
Yeah, and you know, it's complicated because we don't know what caused Wemby's blood clot.
Yeah.
But, I mean, have we thought about the idea that this is pretty serious or very serious in the and maybe this young superstar
yeah.
won't be able to play much basketball?
Yeah, there is certainly...
Has anybody talked about this?
I think there is an idea of that he'll be fine, but...
Why?
Because he's young and he's healthy and they caught it and, you know, blood thinners and all that. But absolutely. I mean, this is a life-threatening condition. And yes. if you continue to have blood clots, and again, we don't know how it's caused, but I mean, blood clots can end a career if it is a reoccurring thing.
Exactly. That's what ended Chris Bosh's career, if you guys remember.
Yeah, I remember he had him and had to sit out. Was that a fit? Did it officially? Because he came back and played a little bit.
Well,
eventually...
he did, but you know how old he was when he retired?
How old?
31.
Wow.
He was not that old.
Not that old.
Chris Bosh's career was cut short because of this. Brandon Ingram had it. So this story went through several guys who have had this.
Yeah.
Brandon Ingram had it, and his was corrected by surgery.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of different reasons someone could get a blood clot. And by the way, Victor Wembanyama's is in his shoulder.
Yeah.
So now he's got to be on blood thinner, so they have to shut him down.
The one I saw said that, and again, I know so little about this. I just read an article where they said that repetitive overhead motion,
yes.
like shooting, rebounding,
correct.
All that stuff, because it's in his arm and shoulder, that it could have led to that.
Yeah, they said that anybody who works with their arms up, mm-hmm. a lot, like yeah. painters, for example,
yeah.
oftentimes get these. So it could be that. It's like it could be a repetitive motion thing. You know, they can also, these clots, they can break free and travel to the lungs.
Yeah.
And then you could die.
Absolutely.
A pulmonary embolism.
Yep.
The worst case scenario for him is that it is a genetic condition, mm-hmm. in which case he cannot, like, that is, you can't fix that.
No.
He has to be on blood thinners,
yeah.
and he can't play basketball.
Nope. Who is it? I know Tommy Frazier dealt with this, the old Nebraska quarterback. He sat out for
his knees.
In his leg or in his knees. Yeah, it's a serious thing. So I think whenever you hear this, I think the idea is, oh, he's young, he's healthy, he'll be fine. But absolutely, I think that is a lot scarier than some people want to admit.
I think they put us at ease by saying, oh, he'll be ready for camp and yeah. it's all good.
Until you get another one.
No, dude, he's got it. I guarantee you they're right now studying where that came from and
yes.
how. And it's a myriad of sort of outcomes depending on how he got that.
Like Brandon Ingram, I guess, he had some sort of, like, his rib was compressing something. Again, once this happened, like, everyone becomes an expert. And I didn't even remember the Brandon Ingram one, but he had surgery. Like, they removed part of his rib that was, like, compressing something that was helped contributing to it, and he's been okay. But, yeah, no one... Like, you don't have access to his medical records, and they don't probably even know yet. But yes, I think the idea that this is just no big deal and he'll be fine next year, I'm with you, man. When you start talking about a life-threatening condition, that's not one that you can just easily dismiss. And wouldn't that be something if this generational player, the greatest NBA prospect since LeBron, they said, and by the way, he lived up to the hype, and... it's cut short after a year and a half.
Dude, that would be something.
Be devastating.
That would suck.
Yes.
After
all we've seen with injuries to all these different big men, whether it's Kristaps or Chet Holmgren or guys who have come before him, he's been squeaky clean. So everyone's like, maybe he really is the unicorn that's unlike all the other guys. But anybody who's 7'3" or higher, it seems like, has something these days.
I know. And that's another route I was going. It's like, you know, he is a pretty odd body type.
He's what, 7'5"?
Well, he said 7'3". I don't know.
Or
you said 7'5".
He might be 7'5". I'm just saying once you get to that 7'3" threshold, it seems like almost nobody's been able to stay
healthy. Well, because the human body isn't supposed to be.
No.
That's what I'm saying. And usually when you get guys that size, there are all kinds of health problems.
Yes.
The serious health problems. Yeah. So I don't know, man.
Well, and that's even, you know, they just...
I don't know.
Like, even from a joint standpoint, look at all the pressure and, like, the lever, like, how the torque and everything when you have limbs that are that long. Like I said, it's just not, that's not normal. Yeah, they say 7'3", 235 pounds, according to Wikipedia. And hope for the best, because that dude is amazing. And who was it? Was it Anthony Edwards said that Wemby's the face of the NBA? I mean, that's a... That is what you are betting on for the future of the NBA is Victor Wembanyama. And he was living up to the hype.
Wasn't it Chuck Barkley that said that?
I think it was Barkley that said he was upset with it because Anthony Edwards was asked, right, are you the next face of the league? And Anthony Edwards said, who, by the way, does not lack confidence, said, no, that's Wemby.
Yeah. And Chuck said, you got to earn that.
Yeah.
You don't just go get labeled that. You have to.
Yeah. You got to earn it. And,
All right.
Obviously, after a year and a half.
For game seven.
Can you say you've earned it? I don't know, but Victor Wembanyama was the real deal. He was not, and we've talked about this, when you get that kind of hype from Ken Griffey Jr. to LeBron James, Sidney Crosby, Connor McDavid, Wemby, when you have had Bryce Harper, when you have had a guy that comes in with that kind of hype, more often than not, he lives up to it. I mean, when you put that sort of label, those guys usually don't fail. There's a reason why we talk about them the way we do, and he was on that path.
You think Flag is that level?
No. I mean, people talk about Flag as obviously being a franchise definer, but you don't hear Flag thrown away the way you did Wemby. You don't hear Flag thrown away or thrown around the way LeBron. You know, LeBron was on the cover of Sports Illustrated at 16. I mean, that's...
I heard Danny say Flag was after Wemby. He's the... I don't know if he said like last 20 years. Flag is after behind Wemby.
Behind Wemby.
Flag is that... Mm. Level.
I mean, that's high praise, but it's not Wemby.
I tell you, Cooper Flagg, dude.
Yeah.
He is unbelievable.
Well, he got the hype because he was playing in that USA Select thing.
I know, at like 16.
And they were saying that he was holding his own and then some.
Yeah. And he's,
great at Duke.
We watched them earlier in the year and he was pretty soft early in the year at Duke, but that stands to reason. He's young.
Yep.
He is now dominant.
Yeah. I'm just looking now through other players that have had, blood clots. And you're right. A lot of them do end up retiring earlier.
It's not good, man.
No.
I don't want to be an alarmist, but...
No.
What's going on with Wembanyama is way more concerning probably in his camp than is out in the real world here.
Yeah. Serena Williams battled them, and she retired a couple years after having them. I mean, it's a real thing. Like, but so young. Because I think a lot of these people, if you get towards the end and you're in your 30s and you've accomplished a lot, why risk it? Wemby in his 20s may roll the dice maybe a little bit more than some of those others. It may be very hard to walk away from a game at whatever he is, 21, 22 years old.
All right, the club is next. We have hot bear news and the latest on the asteroid that's going to kill us all. Next on The Fan.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.